Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. So glad you could be with us tonight. We have an exciting hour of sports conversations. We're going to be talking some Major League Baseball a little bit later on and a lot of high school football and some local sports issues here in eastern Pennsylvania. So let's introduce our all-star panel here tonight. Some heavy hitters leading off the program. We have the District 11 football chair and Northwestern's athletic director, Mr. Jason Zimmerman. And also we are joined by the winning pitcher in today's Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs annual media softball game and the owner of his first career base hit ever, Mr. Keith Edward.
Oh, Rowland. I got hits before.
That was your first hit in the series. In the history of the Iron Pigs media softball game.
Yeah, it was over 4 years before today. Over 4 years.
Good for you.
Congratulations.
What's this?
Congratulations.
This is my invitation. It's Chris Michael trying to locate a
can of corn,
a fly ball.
Oh, if you would have stretched, we would have had that exciting.
Oh, I don't want to hear it. I took it personally because I was pitching.
You had a no hitter.
This is him.
You had.
Where is it, boss? It drops about 10 feet behind him. Unbelievable.
I lost it in the sun.
Outfielding is not your top skill.
No, but I was a better infielder. And I caught you during your no hitter. You had a no hitter for one inning.
I did.
Which is 2/3 of an innings longer than Luis Severino pitched.
I think I retired 9 in a row. One because yes, I was pitching for both teams. So
they
retired 9 in a row.
Neither team wanted him. But no, you did a very good job. Congratulations on the win.
And the hits are more important.
Yes, getting your
two
first
of them
hit.
I had. Two of them.
Well, that
although
that,
I will
bad
say
scoring.
That your hit by me was hit much harder than my two hits. You hit that hard ground ball right up the middle.
Yeah, and I think
this is my gift to you, by the way. Early Christmas for you.
But my highlight of the entire day was when you said Jack Logic should be on our show more often, and you promised him he would be on 3 or 4 times a month going forward. I really appreciate it.
It's not wrestling season
what,
yet.
What is said at Coca-Cola Park should stay at Coca-Cola
He recorded it, though, and he's going to play it for me all the time. All right, we got a lot of sports issues. Before we get to the high school football in particular we want to get to, obviously, Jason, you are a diehard Yankee fan. What was your reaction? You were telling me before you came on the air, you were walking in the door as Luis Severino was pulled after just 1/3 of an inning, and it worked.
Yep,
bizarre strategy.
I was coaching my son's youth football team, and I was rushing home. I left him go early, so I go back for the first pitch. Thank God I was a little late because I didn't get to see Dozier hit the leadoff homer. But, of course, the texts were flying. And I sat there. I'm sitting there saying to myself, oh, come on, get Sevy out of here. He's not ready. He's not this isn't good. And Joe did it. I mean, Joe, a lot of people don't like Joe. I think he's a good manager. I think he's a little bit too much by the book a lot of times. But, he has so many useful tools in that bullpen. Chad Green came right in and the rest is history. And those baby bombers really know how to hit the ball. So,
it's going to be a great series. I'm excited.
I don't know. They didn't have much luck with Tito and the Indians during the regular season, but let's see. Let's see what happens.
We tried to pull Keith after 1/3 of an inning, too. He wouldn't get off the mound, so he had to have another pitching. Football, though. I've seen 9 games that I've announced for RCN. I covered one other game, and I went to get one game as a fan. Just about all the games I've seen this year are very competitive. I think we've had one blowout and one game that kind of got out of hand.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, on any given Friday or Saturday, you don't know who's going to show up and who's going to take it to who. I mean, you look at in the short span, you had Parkland and Easton, and then Parkland and Whitehall went down to the wire. I was following Keith on Twitter on Friday after our game versus Saucon, trying to keep up. That game went right down to it. So, it's really a toss-up. I mean, you have teams like Wilson, who traditionally has struggled, and
4-2.
Yep, they're winning some football games under Coach Labatch down there. Palmerton is quietly making some noise in that 2A bracket. So, it'd be interesting to see. In the Colonial League, obviously, I'm a little bit biased towards that. Southern Lehigh and Saucon are playing good football. Notre Dame's right there in the hunt. I think the team to beat, though, and I know Kevin's going to be upset with me for saying this because he doesn't want to. Palisades is a phenomenal team.
It's obvious right now.
They're quick. Yeah. They're physical, and they're well coached. So
I tell you what, you said, and Chris was there too. Chris and Mr. Breidinger were there, and Mr. Breidinger never uses my material, but Mr. Breidinger, John Breidinger, right?
Yes.
He quoted something I said in the paper, and I said those two proud programs, Penn Argyle and Northern Lehigh, they were winless on Saturday, but they put on, I would think you would agree, quite a show up there on the hill.
And I was just talking to Chris before the show. Obviously I get RCN at home, and that's what I watched. I watched the game, and Coach Reduzzi and Coach Tout, Yeah, listen, I tell you what, they are amazing at what they do. They take what they're dealt, okay, and they put together quality football teams. They're never going to embarrass their school or their program. And I'll tell you what, it was good old-fashioned football game.
Now, Chris kids me now. I want to say this. I'm technically the Colonial League beat person, but he says I still...
You also picked Wilson and Palmerton to be in last and second last.
I said I'm new to the league. I said I was new to the league. But anyway... what I really like about the Colonial League is the fact that these coaches really have to coach. I mean, some of these sidelines in the EPC, there's almost as many coaches as players. But the hands-on, one-to-one kind of thing that Paul Verduzzi has to have, that Joe Tout has to have, what your guy, Mr. Snyder, has to have, I'm telling you, you see a lot of, there's not a lot of bodies. And those sidelines are kind of wide open because there's not a lot of kids there and there's certainly not a lot of coaches.
A lot of two-way guys. You see a lot of young puppies playing for you. You know it's baptism by fire. Listen, the Colonial League's great, though. I mean, it really is. You have healthy competition. At the end of the night, you remain colleagues and friends. And, you know, you support each other through the playoffs. Chris and I were just talking about this. You know, when Saucon made their run, you know, you saw Northwestern and Southern Lehigh kids all at those games. When we made our run, it was, you know, Northern Lehigh guys, Palmerton guys, they're all there cheering on their Colonial League team. So,
Even Notre Dame?
Even Notre Dame. You know, Phil and Josh played together. And,
they pull together nice.
Yeah,
I agree.
And have a lot of respect for what Phil does. And absolutely.
There's a good rapport there.
Absolutely.
I know that.
As your role as the district chair, we're 2 years in now, second year through with a new district, new classification cycle. What's some of the feedback you heard and what's some of your impressions about how it's gone so far?
Yeah, a lot of the same stuff you have. I sit there and you know, sometimes it's tough when you get a sub-500 team in there competing in the playoffs. You know, right now you're looking at 5A, you know, 0-6 at the current moment is East Stroudsburg North, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you're seeing those guys qualify for the playoffs. I hear a lot of that. You know, there's not. It'd be great to get some of these, you know, these qualifiers to other divisions, more competitive divisions. I don't know how you do that. Mm-hmm. But again, all in all, though, we had a great run last year in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, you went out in the field and asked any one of those kids if they didn't want to be there. Man, they love playing another week of football. You know, whether they're going up against a top dog and they maybe didn't have the best season of their career, it's playoff football. And you know.
Well, you weren't there, by the way, but we had the District 11 media thing last week, mm-hmm. and it was a reminder for me, but common knowledge to most that. We are going to have a change. I mean, the enrollment's going to change. We have new enrollment figures going to, and this could look.
Totally different
next year. And certainly, I think you probably hope that there's no four-team classifications where everybody qualifies before the season starts. But there is going to be some, because we know a lot of schools are kind of on that bubble where they could go either way.
Sure. Our school's a great example. Yeah. You know, Saucon Valley is probably another great example. You know, they're that fringe 4A. You know. Current 4A, you know, could bump down to 3A, depending on what enrollment numbers look like and growth in their district. So, yeah, you could see a change. You could see a change in qualifiers depending on how the rest of the state enrollment numbers look. So, yeah, in that regard, you could see that. I was very happy with the change of us moving to, and I think you'll agree, moving to an independent site for or the championship, round. I think that was well received by a lot of people. So we're putting those very, very important championship games in venues that can.
And I'm happy about it, even though I don't know if I'll be able to, because I have Lehigh obligations, but I'm happy that you broke it up a little bit. My frustration last year is that I wanted to see 6A. I wanted to see 5A, and I wound up covering 4A.
Yep.
Because Central Catholic, as you know, I was the EPC North guy. Yep. Central Catholic is an EPC North team.
Sure.
So I wind up following the Central loss to Becca in week one, and then I picked up Becca and rode them all the way through.
Yep.
I'm glad that you're breaking up a little bit where I think 5A and 6A are going to be Friday night, and 4A is going to be on Saturday. Correct.
Yeah, and listen, we're truly blessed here, Keith, that we have the working relationship we do with our media partners, whether it be print or electronic media, and we seek that input. I mean, we're phone calls or an email away and say, hey, did you ever think of this? We take that into consideration. We want to put a great product out there for everybody, and if we can work it in and accommodate, absolutely, that's what we're going to do. But I heard that criticism.
A lot of the big teams were playing. I mean, all three of the top classifications were on the same line, and that's tough because I know the TV people and certainly me would love I would love to be able to have the option of seeing, although let's say Parkland on a Friday and you know, say Central Catholic or Bethlehem Catholic on a Saturday, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Or Northwestern.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And equally, fans want to see that too.
I was going to ask, is Nazareth one of those teams on the bubble? Because a lot of coaches thought they were going to be 5A, and then when everything was made official and they came out and they were a 6A team,
that depends.
Like, well,
that depends on how Andy Weaver puts the numbers in the computer this year.
Right, so it's Andy's fault.
Yeah, Andy's responsible. We'll see. We'll have to see. They're, again, another bubble. You know, they're similar to Whitehall in enrollment and demos and demographics. So.
Yeah, and Whitehall's another team that's right below. I don't think they have enough in terms of enrollment to go up to 6A at that point. But I know Nazareth people would love if they could go down to 5A.
One of the things that I hear about your league is, you know, it's all inclusive. I mean, you don't play any non-league people. Mm-hmm. I know that some EP, and this is where I'm hearing a lot of murmurs, and I'm sure you, even though you're up there in Northwestern, you keep your ear to the ground, and you can hear some rumblings going on in the Valley about the possibility of a restructuring of the EPC next year, which would maybe allow for a non-league. If you choose to play outside your area, you could do that. You're hearing the same
thing? Yeah, I have nothing concrete, and those guys are...
It's funny you mentioned concrete.
Yep, and those guys work... you know, work together well and try and do what's best for their programs and for their league. And again, nothing, I've heard nothing specific, nothing etched in stone, but I think there's always talks, you know. I think there's always talks within our league of, you know, hey, is there something, we always keep our options and our opportunities open. So, you know, is there some type of option to maybe meet up with some of these Schuylkill League teams, former Anthracite teams, and get some creative scheduling just to see something different, you know, and open it up and, you know, see what happens. But yeah, I've heard rumblings. I can't confirm, though, anything. Nothing concrete.
Jason Zimmerman is our special guest, athletic director at Northwestern High School and District 11 football chair. Keith Grohler, of course, the winning pitcher of today's Iron Pigs game. He wants me to mention that four more times during the hour, so make sure get used to hearing
you'll
that.
You'll get paid.
We will
continue.
Yeah, he's pushing for that, too. We'll continue the local sports conversation. We're also going to have Luke Mondano from ESPN Radio talking some baseball playoffs a little later on. But right now it's time for the trivia to roll it out there and give you a chance to win tonight's very special prize. And in honor of Jason's appearance here, a diehard Yankee fan, this is a tough one, though. Be sure you know this one before you call in or email us. What was the New York Yankees franchise's initial team name? What was the first team nickname for the team that later would become the Yankees? You got to go all the way back to the first ever name that this organization used. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
The Wilson girls cross country team has had an impressive first month of their 2017 fall season. Sports Talk videographer Mike Kingsley stopped by the Warriors practice facility to get their insights on their season success so far.
In the beginning of the season, we were just really getting in shape and seeing what our team could do this year after losing a really crucial senior member last year.
The start of our season, going through the first few weeks into the first month, is about getting some base training in. And we sometimes, you know, come away with some accolades. And in the beginning of the season, we had our top athlete medaled at the Northampton Invitational. We do that right before the regular season starts as a tune-up for everyone. And our team plays pretty well. Again, we just do that as a gauge to see what fitness we're at.
We have some really strong members this year with Gabby Vega, Jillian Pote, and myself, and my sister, Sarah Altonin.
My individual accomplishment that I'm most proud of was last season when I won leagues as a freshman. And this season I have not been doing as well as last season, so I'm just trying to work on getting back in the groove and staying up with the top groups and working on my breathing and overall perseverance for running.
So when we're looking to be a little more competitive in our league, right now we're trying to focus on the different types of workouts that we're doing. We're trying to keep our workouts that we're doing, whether it be mile repeats or 800 repeats, 400 repeats, trying to keep those at what we would call our race pace.
My favorite course is Bangor. There's a lot of hills that are short and there's a lot of stretches that are covered by trees and in the shade.
My favorite course to run would probably be Penargel's course, because everybody hates that course because they find it intimidating with a big hill in it. But I just use that and I like to feed off of the, you know, extra excitement and nervousness that you get from that.
I'm really proud of the way my whole girls team works as a unit and how they continually work together to improve. And it is a pleasure to have now been coaching cross country for 15 years, and I look forward to many more years to come coaching high school kids.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our special in-studio guest, Jason Zimmerman, Northwestern Lehigh Athletic Director and District 11 Football Chair, joining Keith Groller and myself. And let's go to the phone lines. I have some people on the line who wants to take a shot at the trivia question. And first is Bob from Easton. Bob, welcome to Sports Talk. Hello, Bob.
What about Bob?
Yes.
It's a good movie title.
Yes, Bob. I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead. I believe you want...
Actually, yes. On hold, I came up with the second, but I'm going to go with my first call, the Highlanders.
The Highlanders is what I thought of when I thought of this trivia question. That is not the correct answer. You have to do a little bit more research. But good guess, though. That's what I thought.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Let's squeeze in one more caller before we get back to the conversation here. Paul from Bethlehem. Paul, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hello.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. You want to take a shot at the question, which is, what was the New York Yankees franchise's initial team name?
I believe for a year, being a Yankee fan, I think they were the Baltimore Orioles.
They were the Orioles. Yes, that is correct.
You had to look that up.
No, it's not assuming people have to look this up. Paul, you are very insightful,
right?
Yeah,
I'm sure you had it right in the tip of your tongue.
That's impressive.
Listen, I'm a bright guy. Give me some credit.
There you go.
Yeah, well, I would do the same, Paul, if I was at home and wanted to win the trivia.
Hey.
Well done. Right.
Paul, we'll be in contact with you after the show. You got a VOD certificate that we'll be in contact about setting you up for.
Great. Thanks so much.
Go All Bombers.
Right. Yeah, we go Bombers tonight, huh? I got to give a shout-out, too. I'm the Becker High JV baseball coach, okay? So I got to say go Hawks for this football season.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Excellent.
Oh, they're going. They're 6-0.
Yeah.
Wow.
And a great game.
Amen. This is the big one's Friday.
Huge.
Yes. Yes, and we will have that game live on RCN, too, if you're not out there in person.
And are you working that game?
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
No.
Take care, Paul.
Yeah. Don't assume everyone cheats. Just because you were throwing spitballs today during your – oh, I'm not supposed to say that on the air, that you were cheating at the game.
There was an illegal substance used. I'll admit that.
Jason Zimmerman, our special guest. Before – I want to make sure I promote this, too, because you guys have a great website. I mean – there's other high schools and other leagues out there that have nice websites. You have directions, you have coaches' information, you have standings. You keep it updated, and I just want to give a plug for that. ColonialLeague.org, it's bookmarked right on my computer. Talk about how that's
Come you, Chris. I mean, I got to give props where it's due. I mean, way back when Kenny Fisher was
your man.
Before websites were a thing, you know, Kenny developed that. And then we, you know, Kenny rode off to greener pastures in retirement, and we went with a company, and Brian Geist really spearheaded that from out of Northern Lehigh.
I feel bad for him.
What?
He sends out.
No, you don't feel bad for anybody.
He sends out.
You're talking to Jason's rival here.
Hey,
wait a minute.
Is anybody coming to our game? And I think I'm going to say, Brian, if you weren't old for the season, I might be there.
At least he extends you that invitation.
He sends
you parking spot.
We were texting the other night, and he's like,
he'll have playoff games.
He's like,
we have
beautiful facility. But he's texting me, are you going to? We played in soccer, and we were very successful. He goes, now you need to. We spotted you 9 in soccer. You spot us on football. Listen, you throw all the records out, Northern Lehigh, Northwestern, it doesn't matter. They buckle up and they have a great game.
And you know the one exception, but by and large, you have great people in the Colonial League.
Without question.
And I have great admiration for them.
We fight to get it right for the kids, and afterwards it's over and we move forward, mm-hmm. and it's the best. And, you know, we have some new blood in there now, and really they're jumping on board and going with it. So it is. I'm blessed to be in the Colonial League, really are. But thank you for the plug on the website.
Sure.
A lot of us work hard.
Now, I will have one little peeve.
Go ahead.
Can we get
on the website?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Can we get the overall records on there? I know you're great on the league records. Ooh. I want to see those overall records.
We'll put Geisty on that. When Geisty asks you if you're coming, say,
because
I will say
the EPC does have overall records. They may be 3 days late, but eventually they get the overall records
on
there.
That's it. I will write that down, and we'll bring that back to Geisty. Okay. If it can be done, he'll make it happen.
By the way, Keith was the winning pitcher in today's game. Two more times.
I'm feeling my oats tonight. You know what I mean? I'm thinking I'm gonna push for that overall record. You know.
Go ahead. Strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
Is that why you're icing your arm between segments here?
Was there any other things as far as the district classifications you looked at from last year? And you know, you talked about a lot of the positives, the independent sites for the championship games. Anything else you've been talking about or looking at? I know you can't make any changes during the season, but things you're looking to do for next season.
You know, we always get together with our coaches, you know, seek input from our coaches from the leagues. Every league has a meeting with their coaches. I'll be honest with you, Chris. I really haven't heard much. You know, I hear stuff from trusted colleagues like yourselves. You know, Gary Laubach always is there to offer up some opinions. Keith's always a trusted colleague. We really haven't heard that much in the negative. I think the biggest thing we've heard in the negative is, you know, there's a lot of teams here. You know, and maybe some of them aren't as deserving. I get that. And I always go with the line. I tell you this all the time. You know, you and I have this professional conversation. Tell a kid he doesn't belong in the playoffs. You know, but I get it. I get both sides. But other than that, I have not heard much of anything.
All right, it's time for Keith's favorite part of the show. It's called Growler's Groundlings, where Keith can talk about everything and anything on his sports mind, including his great pitching performance and his first ever baseball hit at Coca-Cola Park.
Zai is over here, Kingsley. They would have loved to get great footage of you. They would have had a half hour of comedy material had they been there taking pictures of you today. Let me tell you that.
Hey, I don't know where that ball is.
Your time's almost up for your segment.
Yeah, okay, real quick, look it. Having fun here, but somber week nationally, somber week locally. This tragedy in Vegas touched me deeply because I've actually stayed at the Mandalay Bay. I've stayed at the Luxor. The last time I was at the Luxor 10 years ago this month, my room overlooked the parking lot, the field, whatever you want to call it, where this concert was. So, you know, I know that neighborhood. I know that city, devastated by what happened, and my thoughts and prayers to the people of Las Vegas and the entire country. I mean, that's just a real heartbreaker Sunday night in Las Vegas. Locally, we lost two giants this week in the world of football. A lot of people know about Mike Donnelly. They call him Duke. Great man. I don't know if you had much dealing with him.
A lot of dealings. He came to Northwestern a lot. He liked that type of kid at Muhlenberg.
Just a good, solid human being. Yeah, but does Muhlenberg get a lot of attention around here? Not as much as they used to, but he ran a solid, quality program. Kids wanted to go play for him. I covered his teams in the late 90s. Always was a class man. We're going to miss him. And also, Ed Watto, the chairman of the National Football Foundation, Lehigh Valley chapter, who ran that wonderful banquet for so many years up there at Northampton, the Scholar Athlete Dinner. We're going to miss that. He left us way too quickly, way too soon. What a good man, what a good leader, and we're going to miss both Ed Watto and, of course, Mike Donnelly.
Yeah, and Ed was also the longtime athletic director up at Pocono
East. And he would always bust
Pocono, before East and West.
He would say, hey, did you need an overnight trip, Keith? Did you take an overnight trip? Could you always say it so far? And he always would bust on me. But I actually love visiting with Ed up there in beautiful Swiftwater.
And Ed was a pillar in the Centennial League back when I played. I played for Northwest, we were in a Centennial League, and he was always made us feel at home.
Good wrestling coach, too,
absolutely.
Right? Good man.
Just a
good
solid,
man.
Solid
So
gentleman.
A tough loss and a couple capacities this year, this week, just a tough loss.
All right, time for another timeout feature. One of the biggest turnarounds in the entire Lehigh Valley sports landscape over the last few years has been the story of the Penn Argyle girls soccer program. Sports Talk videographer Alyssa Scheckler caught up with the Green Knights to talk about their journey.
Ooh, our season is going really good right now. I think we're 7-5-2, And it's better, a lot better than last year, because last year we did pretty good, but like this year's just better.
I think that we're winning a lot more, and I love to win, so it's just making me happy. Compared to my freshman year, we went 0-18, so it was just like, oh my God, are we really going to be like this every year? And we just make improvements every year.
Season this year is, I think, a lot better because we have a lot more ball movement. We have a lot more supportiveness from parents that came up with the younger girls.
I think this year particularly, we've been able to work on culture. We created a core group of values that we talked about in the off season, and we really tried to focus this year on not having it be just something we pinned up on the wall, but something that we actually lived by. This has been the best season so far. This is year four for me. We've got the best record going into where we're at now after 14 games with only 5 losses, so we're excited.
I think our season is going really well. All the girls have improved greatly from last year. I think every single one of us has made improvements, not only personally, but as a team as a whole.
I'd really like to get through districts pretty far into it, because last year we made it to first rounds, and I like to do a lot better and go further and maybe make it to states.
I think we're going really good because we only need, I think, 2 more wins so we can get into districts. So I think we're going really good because we have like 5 more games left.
I want to get them to districts and I want to get to states. I want to get all the way through districts and then get to the state tournament if that's possible, and I want everyone to keep improving.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Jason Zimmerman, District 11 football chair, joining Keith Groller and myself. I got plugs all over the place, so I have to go. Reminder, Becca Parkland will be live on RCN, 7 o'clock. We will have all the big game this weekend. Becca versus Parkland will be the live game with Gary Laubach, Mike Joseph, and Tony Coca. So tune in at 7 for that. Keith Groller's other number one fan and fellow Deerough alum, Mike Kingsley, is celebrating a birthday today. So happy birthday to Mike
Husky
Kingsley.
Pride to you, Husky pride.
I know you want to celebrate him and all the good things he does to you behind the scenes here. And the Iron Pigs have called. They were sending all of your honors today because you didn't cover a single Iron Pig game this year. So all of your winning pitcher status, no hitter for an inning, your one hit, all rescinded. All right, it's time for the roundtable. The roundtable is where we have a variety of local, regional, and national sports topics that we put before our in-studio panelists, looking for an entertaining exchange of thoughts on the different issues. All right, topic number one, we'll head to Major League Baseball. It's a foregone conclusion. Fresh off all the adrenaline of their wild card win the other night, the Yankees are going to win it. It's only a question of when, right, Jason? Yep. When are they going to win the World Series?
Baby Bombers are going to pull it. They're going to go to Game 6 versus L.A. October 31st is going to be the date.
October 31st.
October 31st.
2020?
What year? This year.
Oh, this year.
Okay. This year.
Okay.
They're
all
making
right.
a run. Okay.
Keith, you don't want to upset him, so obviously you're going to pick the Yankees to win it as well?
I think their time is coming, but it's not this year.
Not this year. So your date would be?
2019. 2019 or 2020.
2 years. Yep. All right. Topic number two. This concerns Colonial League football. And we've had, for all the competition we've had, you go back through the last 15 years, Sauk and Valley had a great run. Caddy had 2 years in which they were awesome. Penn Argyle had some awesome teams. Mm-hmm. Wilson had those great teams. And your Northwestern had some mm-hmm. very good teams. There was always one team that kind of rose above everyone else. Notre Dame, I think, would be the team last year. Mm-hmm. Right now, can we crown Palisades as the team to stand out above everyone else right now?
All right, go ahead.
I'll tell you what, I saw Palisades play us. I saw Sauk Valley play us. Palisades is a darn good football team. Mm-hmm. They're big up front. They're quick. They're physical, and they're well coached.
And they're deep for not having a whole lot of numbers in student enrollment.
Yeah, and Kevin just does a nice job. I mean, I believe they're the most talented Colonial League team. I mean, I'm not sure Notre Dame's as good as years past. I like Saukin. I'll tell you what, mm-hmm. Austin, the Wolf kid. He's something to watch. And listen, don't ever count out Southern Lehigh. They always have something up their sleeve in the end of the season. So, but Palisades, sorry, Kevin, the bullseye's on you guys.
No, they're clearly the best team that I've seen so far. And but the only thing, I know Notre Dame may get them mm-hmm. At some point in the 3A tournament. Mm-hmm. And I know Notre Dame feels like they were right there with them. I'm not sure I agree with Phil. And Phil says we were right there. Palisades really dominated the line of scrimmage. I don't know how you're going to change that dynamic. Now, Notre Dame did strike for a couple big plays and made it a 22-17 game, but Phil and Notre Dame are going to, if they get a rematch,
yep.
Notre Dame's going to come to play, and that's going to be quite a rematch in the District 11 tournament.
Absolutely. There is no question that the athleticism that Notre Dame has, and listen, you can't take them lightly. I just look on paper, top to bottom, all aspects of the game.
I had them in their best wins of the season so far, which was over Notre Dame and Southern Lehigh. And I think Palmerton will give them a little bit of a battle. I think they'll win on Friday night. I think they're going to go into that Week 10 matchup with Sauk and Valley undefeated.
Absolutely.
And I like Sauk and Valley. They're dangerous with Wolf, but I think Palisades is still the favorite.
Yep. I agree.
And I think the thing about Palisades, too, they're a smaller school, so you always worry about depth, but they have a couple extra linemen. They have four really good running backs. They have a couple people who can snap the ball and play under center. They have a couple wide receivers. So even if they lose, one or two people, I still think they can have some long-term success.
Yeah. I know the week leading up to that game for us, our coaches really were really hitting the film hard, trying to get tendencies. They're good. They're well balanced, and you can't key on just one thing.
Final note, real quick. Kevin Ronalds, somebody who covered him a lot when he was at Allen and had a lot of sad interviews at the field house out there at Jay Brady Crum Stadium. It is so wonderful, and I said this to him. It's so wonderful to do happy interviews now, where he doesn't have to worry. Yeah, we gave it a good try. He's really positive. He's really upbeat. And he's always been a good coach. He just needed some material, and now he has it.
Yeah, he needs some talent. And another thing about Kevin is, we talked about before, he's pulling. He's pulling for any Colonial League team. Once he's not, if it's not against, as long as it's not against his team, he'll do anything for these kids in Colonial League and coaches. He's a good man. Very good man.
All right, topic number three, we'll go to college football. And is Penn State playing Saquon Barkley too much? I was up at Penn Argyle the other week, and people were on their phones and saying, Penn State's up by 35 points, and he's still out there returning punts or running out of the backfield there. But I mean, I know there's a whole lot more in terms of the Heisman voting and running up numbers and getting so many numbers to qualify and so forth. But I mean, Barkley is the team. I think without question, he's the MVP. There's no other team in the country that could lose one player, and Penn State depends on him more than any other player out there, in my opinion. Jason and Keith.
Without question. I mean, if you know my sons pretty well, if you ask Eli and Brady, who are diehard Saquon fans, because they got to meet him here. Bob Hartman made that arrangement. Like, he should never come off the field, in their opinion. I'll be honest with you. I think Saquon's going to do whatever he can to get Penn State a national title. I think the statistics for Heisman are secondary to him. Mm-hmm. Just knowing the nature of that gentleman, just what a fine young man he is. And, to take the time to do the things he does is absolutely amazing for a student athlete like that at college level.
Yep. Keith?
Well, we're doing a story, I think, on A1 of tomorrow's paper about how Penn State is trying to set him up for a possible Heisman Trophy run. It's going to come down. He's going to need to play every single play, in my opinion, or be on the field as much as he possibly can when they play Ohio State, when they play Michigan. And maybe Wisconsin. So, and then whoever they face in the Big Ten championship game, those are the games that he's going to be needed every single play. So I would probably have rested him more in some of these scrimmages that they've had. Georgia State was a scrimmage, when they're playing the meat of their schedule, he's going to be needed, and he's going to be needed often.
Yeah, I mean, the two locals that were in Heisman contention, Andre Williams was another one when he played for BC. Another solid character, good character human being. I don't think it'd be great to win the Heisman. I thought it was more important for them, for BC to do good in Williams' situation, and for Saquon, for Penn State to do well. I mean, he wants to take Penn State to that.
I think they're going to go hand in hand.
I agree.
I think if they're going to get to where they want to go, they're going to need to beat Ohio State. They're going to need to beat Michigan, and he's going to play a key role in those games.
Absolutely.
So I don't think you have to worry about it. It's going to go hand in hand.
Agree.
All right, topic number four is part of Keith Groller's greatest week ever. Fox Sports' Colin Cowherd proclaimed Keith's Rams as the team to beat in their division. Do you agree, or was Colin Cowherd just
He's so California-oriented, so whatever he says is a little tainted. But I think they're – look, as a Ram fan, I'm happy to see they're scoring points.
Yeah.
They didn't score many points the last couple of years under Jeff Fisher, so I'm enthused about that. Let's see if they beat Seattle. Seattle's still the team to beat, in my opinion, and they got them at home this weekend at the Coliseum, where there'll probably be 30,000, 80,000 empty seats and 30,000 seats filled there. So we'll see. They still haven't captured the imagination of the Los Angeles community, but I'm excited. As a longtime Rams fan, they have an offense again. Their defense actually is more of a concern, but you figure that Wade Phillips is going to figure things out. But hey, like the Eagles, they're 3-1, and you got to take it at this point.
So you agree?
Well, no, I'm not saying no. I don't agree. I want to. If they beat Seattle, I might say yeah, they are the favorite.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards yes. I mean, I don't follow them as much as I should, but other than
well, they're the Rams.
We're really in fantasy leagues, but you know, their quarterback, Goff.
Jared Goff.
You know, he's starting to feel a little bit more comfortable. He's got guys to throw to, and you know, I know their defense can be leery, but they can also score some points for him also.
Yeah, they can get some sacks and interceptions, yep. But they give up a lot of yardage. The guy you want to get in your fantasy, Connor Kupp.
Yep, Kupp.
Oh, the
yep.
kid from, yep. Was it Eastern Washington? He's
yep.
phenomenal.
Yep.
All right,
PPR league. He's a good one in PPR.
Mm-hmm. Topic number five, and I want to keep Jason off the hook here, so we'll take Northwestern out of the mix so he doesn't upset his people up in Nutropoli. But besides Northwestern, what is the next best matchup in the Colonial League?
I got two of them for you, okay? Two of them coming up that I want to see yet. Week 9, I want to see Notre Dame and Salkin. Mm-hmm. I want to see Phil Samson and Coach Stambaugh go head-to-head and see how those two teams compete. And then I think the granddaddy of them all is in Week 10 with Saucon Valley versus Palisades. I think it'll show us a lot. Again, I do believe I'm jumping on that Palisades bandwagon at the same time. But I think Saucon will give them everything they can handle.
Keith, 15 seconds.
Real quick, Bangor Pennards was always something special in those communities. And they're playing a Saturday afternoon. I know they're not having great seasons, but Bangor and Pennards are always something very, very special.
All right, Jason Zimmerman, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Success with you. And coming up, we're going to have a special interview with ESPN's Luke Mondano talking Major League Baseball playoffs. Right now, as we head to break, the Philadelphia 76ers training camp is in full swing with a lot of new faces busy setting goals for themselves as well as trying to define their roles with their new organization.
Hopefully just everybody giving it their all, just make not only just for the team, but to make everybody better and give yourself and other people the best chance to showcase their talent. So, I mean, coming on to workouts and training camp, just coming out and giving it your all, just see how far we need to go before the first game and everything like that.
We're such a passive team. There's not one selfish guy on the team. And we have a lot of guys that can play different positions from like the 4 to 5. You know, you got Ben that can play point, power forward maybe. It's like so many different spots. And just for us to acclimate it and put it together, I think it's just going to be great for us, you know, because nobody's selfish on this team. Nobody has no vendettas, you know, pretty much.
In terms of, you know, my conditioning and my ability, you know, especially after going around and playing with various teams, there's no doubt in my mind that I can play in this league and I can still contribute. I contribute a lot, both on and off the court.
So every time I was in touch with them, you know, the coach also, Brett Brown and Colangelo also, they trying to help me every time, every day, you know. I'm ready to do everything for this team, you know. My first goal is to work every day, to get better and better every day. And then I don't know what's going to happen during the season, but I try to be ready for each game.
Welcome back once again to Sports Talk, and time to talk a little Major League Baseball playoffs. And joining us via the phone line for this segment, Luke Mondano, the ESPN 980 Radio's Nationals beat reporter, does a great job covering a variety of sports in the D.C. area, but obviously busy this time of year covering the Washington Nationals as they get ready to take on the Chicago Cubs on Friday night. Luke, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to Sports Talk this evening.
Thanks for having me.
I know the Nationals have been close the last few years. You and the team have been in the situation last few seasons. I thought the front office did a great job of bringing in some players both during the season and during the soft season. The players are getting older, obviously. How important is this year? I mean, they have some free agencies, free agent players coming up. Bryce Harper is a year closer to free agency. How important is this series, and is especially round one here against the Cubs, is this a must-win series for the Nationals?
I mean, as much as a series in an AL or an NLDS can be must-win, I think it is because they won the division 4 times in the past 6 years. Mm-hmm. And for them to just be another first-round exit, it's not like they've been making it to the World Series or the NLCS and just faltering. They haven't even made it out of this round. And I think they have probably the best talent they've ever had in this city, and both on the offensive side and pitching. And so if not now, I'm not sure when. And like you said, some of the guys are getting older. Jason Worth, Ryan Zimmerman, guys like that are getting older, are going to be their contracts are going to be running up. And so there is a small window, but I guess you were mentioned the moves that the front office has made. Getting Ryan Madsen and Sean Doolittle from Oakland this year was huge. It cannot even be really quantified how huge that was. They were almost dead last, I believe, in terms of bullpen numbers before that trade. And since then, I think Madsen's given up 3 runs in 19 or so innings. And Doolittle's been, I think, with the he had a hiccup a couple, like a week or two ago. But other than that, he had had almost, I believe, almost 20 saves as a, close to 20 saves as a National.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that bullpen because that always seems to be a roller coaster with this team the last few years. A big question mark. Last year, the front office went out, brought in some people before the season started, and I thought coming into this year that the bullpen was going to be a strength. Obviously, it did not pitch well the first half of the year, and then those guys that you mentioned, Kinsler, Madsen, and Doolittle were brought in. Are you confident now in the bullpen overall? Is everyone clear on the roles and how everything is going to shape up for the postseason?
Well, yeah, 7, 8, 9 are as clear as they've been in the nearly a decade since I've been out here covering the Nats. Mm-hmm. But it's funnily enough, is even with Scherzer and Gio and Strasburg, maybe Strasburg being the exception to that, there's some issues on if they can get the first six. You know, with Max Scherzer, who has never had any kind of real injury issues, and he's broken down a couple times down here down the stretch. That's a worry. So you got a guy that you paid the money to and brought in to be your game one ace is now not ready until probably game three at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Strasburg was lights out in the second half of the season, but Gio, who had had a very good, possibly all-star caliber first half, really kind of, especially his last few starts, didn't really hit the postseason with all systems go. So there are some issues in the starting rotation because Tanner Roark and A.J. Cole are not ready to be, unless necessary, postseason really starters. And who would have thought we'd be here in October questioning the starting rotation more than the bullpen here for the Nationals?
You know, you mentioned some of the injuries to the pitchers. Bryce Harper, with that knee injury, came back. How did he look the last week of the regular season? I think he got 18 at-bats and has been seeing some live batting practice this week. Is he ready to go? And how much, as you know, I think this lineup for the Nationals might be one of, if not the deepest team in terms of the positional players. But obviously, Bryce Harper's health and his ability to take that batting order to the next level is so huge to this team. What's the latest on him?
Huge, and but you can't really get rid of the fact that he missed 41 games, and his timing. He seemed like he was still struggling a little bit to find his timing, which, you know, once he finds his timing, the sky's the limit for Bryce Harper. But he's kind of having to find it on the fly in a tough stage against a very tough opponent.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the matchup with the Cubs, where do you think the Nationals have the advantage? Where do you think the Cubs have the advantages? And how do you see? What do you see as the key to this series?
I think the Nationals have the advantage in terms of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs lost a few guys, and their pitching staff is not as lights out as it was last postseason.
Mm-hmm.
So I think offensively the Nats are going to have to score runs, and that can cover up some of the issues in their starting rotation. I think the strength for the Cubs is their experience. They won the World Series last year. They have a lot of guys on that team who are a part of that team and know what it takes to win in October. Whereas on the National side, no one on this team, with the exceptions of, like, you know, the Wirths and some of the other people and Daniel Murphy, have made it past the first round. So there's always kind of that bugaboo. They've never been there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe the Cubs, with the experience, especially the recent experience, and knowing how to handle it, could work in their favor. But I do think that the Nationals have a very good chance of winning this. I mean, they were one of the best teams. They were both two of the best teams. I think this is honestly one of the better first-round matchups in terms of talent on both sides that the Nationals have had in this 4 of 6 year run.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the experience factor, which is huge this time of year, and Jason Wirth getting playoff experience with the Phillies. I always think another key to have is to have some excitement among the younger players. Obviously, Trey Turner brings that if he's healthy and ready to go. Brian Goodwin, I know, has had a couple big at-bats the last couple weeks of the season. How do you see the chemistry coming together? The older regime, the more veterans who have been through the cycle a little bit, teamed in with the Turners and some of the younger players on the roster. Do they have the right chemistry heading into the postseason?
I think they do. Jason Worth is kind of like an old wise man in the clubhouse in terms of his presence. He doesn't always show up at the plate, but he's always there in the clubhouse, kind of just has his thumb on the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. Anthony Rendon, Trey Turner, like you mentioned, young, hungry guys. They are big. And Ryan Zimmerman is kind of up with Jason Worth, maybe a little more so as the face of the franchise since they came to D.C. And another big a clubhouse guy is Jose Lobaton, who I believe is expected to be the catcher, the backup catcher on the NLDS roster.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might argue that Pedro Severino needs to get a shot to get some experience, and just because he is the future, but Jose Lobaton is a huge clubhouse person, and he's part of why he's on there. It's not because they're going to want to use him as a pinch hitter or to give a breather to Matt Wieters,
mm-hmm.
but he's really a glue guy, and this clubhouse has a lot of those glue guys. And I think it's just keeping the other guys with a level head when things may inevitably are going to go wrong in postseason games. Not everything's going to go in your favor. And the clubhouse guys that can keep an even keel are going to be huge if the Nats are going to move on to the NLCS and World Series.
Luke Mondaldo is our special guest, ESPN Radio 980's Nationals beat writer. The other big question, I guess, concerning the Nationals, Dusty Baker continues to not have a contract, and obviously that will not resolve itself until the end of the season, whenever that may be. General Manager Mike Rizzo has said repeatedly, I know during the year, that whatever happens is not an issue. It's not based on the team's success or how many games they win or so forth. But obviously it has to be factoring in that they did not sign Dusty Baker to an extension during spring training or at any point during the first half of the year, certainly. Has there been any indication on what has to happen, how many games they have to win or how many series they have to win in order for the Nationals to offer that contract extension? And is Dusty Baker, is it a question with him? Does he want to come back? And what does he need to have happen in order to sign and come back as the manager of the Nationals?
To my knowledge, there hasn't been anything released or even really leaked as to what it would take to keep him. I think one thing that could be is they let the postseason play out, mm-hmm. win or lose or whatever happens. They see maybe who else opens up, what other managers come onto the market or who is available, and they kind of test the waters there. Obviously, if Dusty were to make it to the next round or to the World Series, it would be hard for them not to extend him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure that even Mike Rizzo or anyone outside of Mike Rizzo knows what it's going to take. I think Dusty Baker would like to come back here. He seems to have enjoyed his time here. He's a really level-headed guy, and I think the clubhouse really loves him. And I have never heard a negative word, at least from the clubhouse guys, about Dusty Baker in terms of like being a player's coach or player's manager. And I think that if as they should move past this first round, if they do, I would have a hard time seeing, barring something, catastrophically unforeseen in the NLCS or World Series, any reason for him to not be back next year.
That's good to hear. Luke, before we let you go, I know you're busy covering the Nationals, but Yankees had an exciting World Series wild card game.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are jumping on the Yankees bandwagon and think they have the momentum heading into the American League ALDS. Who do you like over in the American League, and do you think the Yankees can continue that momentum and have success against Cleveland in the first round of the playoffs, or the next round of the playoffs anyway?
I think it being a whole new season, I think Cleveland has to be the favorite. I mean, they won 22 games in a row at one
sure.
point this season. Boston's always a postseason, can be a bugaboo for teams. And then Houston, with the addition of Justin Verlander, I don't know that can be heralded enough. The guy's 5-0 and has basically been untouchable since he changed from the Detroit uniforms to Houston. And but as far as the Yankees go, they are the same youth and the hunger that we talked about with the Nationals. I think they have it in spades, because you have the guys like Aaron Judge, the humble heroes, and you have guys that just like playing together, and they are a team. And it's something that I don't think we've seen out of the Yankees. We wouldn't have seen in the Joe Torre turn of the early 2000s Yankees, but they're winning in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
I think Matt Holliday is a big part of that. Talk about clubhouse guys. He talked early in the season about trying to bring some of the clubhouse tricks of the trade, so to speak, from the that worked with the Cardinals to the Yankees, and I think he's done that. Even though he hasn't really delivered, save some big hits, not necessarily the quantity, but the quality of his hits have been good. But he's also been a really glue guy in the clubhouse. And I think the sky's the limit for New York. I think Severino's very short start yesterday was an anomaly more than anything. Mm-hmm. And a few things, I mean, the home runs they got were wall scrapers. They weren't necessarily monster shots. So a few things go differently. Maybe he gets out of it and things are different in terms of the score. But I think props to Joe Girardi for having the fortitude, the intestinal fortitude to pull your ace in that situation. Yeah. And have faith in your bats. I don't think the Yankees, I know the Yankees players themselves did not lose faith when they were down 3-0. They've been down 3-0 before. I think they average over 5 runs a game at Yankee Stadium. So I don't think anyone was really worried when it was 3-0. If it had gotten to 5-0, that would have been a different story. But, I mean, that bullpen to come in and just shut the Twins down like that, like dead in their tracks, and then shut them down for 8 2/3 and let the bats catch up and pull away was one of the best postseason bullpen performances I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Definitely that I've watched that closely in person.
All right. Well, Luke, thanks so much for your time and for all your insights, and best of luck with the National Series that gets underway on Friday night.
Thank you very much.
All right. Big thanks to Luke Maldonado for joining us, ESPN Radio, and you can also follow him on Twitter at MoNotesSports. Big thanks to all of tonight's guests, and we'll be back next week with another edition of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.